Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And today I have with me Umberto, Eric, and Peter, and we'll be talking about Fabric UI. As you know, we released Fabric UI about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And it has been a huge success, and it is a design and control framework for Office development. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Do you want to elaborate a little bit, Eric?
Yeah, so Fabric got started about a year and a half ago inside one of the design studios to help the engineering and design teams work a little better together. And it's basically the design language for Office and O365 in code. And for web experiences, add-ins, all of those, it really helps all the engineers internally and now externally get the look and feel just right.
Great.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So one of the things that we're going to do is that I think we're going to start with demos. We should start with demos too, that people can get a look at, take a look at the actual Fabric running, both in a 365 app and in an add-in, and then maybe we can elaborate a little bit more about what's behind the scenes of that. So, Peter, do you want to take us for the first demo?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we have here is kind of a simple video portal application similar to what's actually currently available in Office 365, only constructed completely out of Fabric elements and components. And so we have up here the Fabric navigation bar, switching between pages, and then we're also using Fabric typography to kind of help set a consistent, kind of typographic baseline and RAM all throughout the app. And it's really like all of this, all of this is available just completely straight out of Fabric. The colors, type size, and responsive grid, similar to what you'd see in some other frameworks.
Now, one of the things that I noticed is that this looks an awful similar to the actual video portal that ships with SharePoint, right? With OneDrive.
That's right. So, that's right.
Is that because they also use Fabric?
They do indeed. They do indeed. In fact, I helped write the front end for that application, and the differences between this and that are actually pretty minor. They use a significant portion of Fabric in the application itself.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
It's great to know we use our own stuff.
Do you guys want to tell us a little bit more about which products are actually using Fabric right now internally?
Right, so right now OneDrive's using it. You'll also see it in the O365 video portal. You can also see it in Project. Oa is using a selection of it. Fabric contains all sorts of assets. So it has icons, type, which Peter was talking about. The colors are also from the Microsoft official color palette.
Right.
So these reds, the blues, all of those are the right colors for the entire design language. And those are being leveraged across the suite. So the little nav bar at the very top of the O365 suite is also using those. There's also tons of what are called components. Those components are the actual little text boxes and labels and drop downs, all the way up to more more complex things like the nav bar that Peter was showing. Those are also included in Fabric, and those are the things that are actually leveraged across different workloads too. There are quite a few that are using it, but yeah.
Cool. And Fabric has a ton of components, and one of the things that I've heard people asking us about since we released Fabric, it's like an all or nothing thing. Obviously, we want people to adopt Fabric wholesale, the more the better, right?
Totally.
So that because you get all the look and feel of Fabric at once. But does that mean that, if I'm using some other framework, like for example Bootstrap, or if I'm using my own design language, does that mean that I need to kind of replace my stuff with Fabric, or can I use decent beats?
Definitely not. Now, Fabric was actually designed from the ground up to play nice with other frameworks.
Cool.
We don't style any default elements, and so it's just basically a collection of classes that you can apply to kind of selectively upgrade your application and help make it feel more like Office.
Cool. Awesome. So this was a sample of a full web app using Fabric. And now I want to show you using Fabric inside an Office add-in.
Great.
Really quick. So I'm going to jump here to my machine. There you go. So first thing, I'm going to show you the add-in running. So let me first show you that, and then I'm going to show you the code behind the scenes. So here's the add-in running. So I'm inside Word. For those of you that are not super familiar with add-ins in Office, so they are extensions to the Office clients that run inside the Office clients, but they're actually powered by web technology, so essentially HTML, JavaScript, CSS. And what I'm showing you here is actually a sample that we just shipped out when we released also Fabric this Monday, last Monday. Essentially, so you start using some of the components that Fabric comes with, like for example, the search box, right, can start typing in there. It also has like the pivot control here. It has the drop down, right? You can also see that right now because the amount of space that I have on my add-in is not enough to actually display the drop-down fully, then what it does is it automatically adapts and shows the nice adaptive version of the drop-down. But if I actually go and resize my canvas really here to give it a little bit more space, you will see that actually render as a standard drop-down. So it adapts. You can also see the same behavior here with, for example, the list. So here you can actually see that it's displaying the full name, like Luis Humberto. But then as I start resizing it, you'll start seeing that, that some ellipses appear when you cannot actually display the whole thing. And it's slightly now scales down here. So it's showing all of this, but it doesn't stop there, right? Because add-ins, with the most recent version of Office, Office 2016, that we're going to release very soon, we also introduced some APIs to do theming. Mm-hmm. And those APIs play really nice with Fabric because they are both based on standard web technology. So when I go and do something like this, I'm going to close the add-in here. So now I'm going to switch my theme so that you can actually see the contrast and how the add-in is going to pick up the theme. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to switch here to dark gray. There we go. And now I'm going to launch that add-in again. And it will load. And now, boom, right, actually picking up the theme of Office. All the components are properly themed, so you can actually see the hover is properly themed. All the icons are now white. This is now slightly gray. Mm-hmm. Search box, too, also got properly themed, right? And this is all just standard HTML, CSS that is just happening behind the scenes. So let me quickly show you how easy it is to do that.
That's really convenient. I know we hear from developers all the time. It's great that we use web standards like HTML and JavaScript, but it's always the CSS and the styling that they have the biggest challenges with. So this is fantastic. Yeah.
Right. So this is just showing you that I think I was displaying in Word. It's pretty straightforward. So all I had to do was to reference Fabric. So first, I'm referencing in the libraries for standard libraries for add-ins like Office.js. Mm-hmm. That's the one that actually allows me to wire things and do things like the theming pieces. Yep. But then to actually use Fabric is pretty straightforward, right? I just have to add references to the actual Fabric CSS. So you see here they have Fabric main.css and Fabric components on main. That's a minified version of Fabric. Mm-hmm. And then for each one of the components that I want to use, I also have to reference some small bit of JavaScript that does the wiring. For example, what happens when I type in the search box to display the X and all that stuff. Right now, those components, the JavaScript is not distributed on the CDN, but we're working on that.
Okay.
But right now, you can go on GitHub on the distribution folder /dist, and then pull this in your project, and then you can just wire it up. And actually using Fabric when you have the references, it's super simple. For example, if I want to do the for example, a search box is really just this, right? Just a div with ms-searchbook, which is the appropriate class, and then just your data. Now, one of the nice things about Fabric is that it's completely agnostic as to what you're using in the backend. Mm-hmm. For example, you could be using Angular, you could be using Backbone, you could be using any other framework there, and you can just plug Fabric, which is really just the skin, on top of all of that, and just get that look and feel that Office has.
That's great news.
So that's pretty cool. Do you guys want to talk about a little bit more about why we decided to go with open source and all the motivations behind that?
Sure. Well, it helped a lot, obviously, with the efficiency internally, which was really important for us. So we started to realize, though, that it was a project that picked up steam. Lots of other internal teams started picking it up. So it was actually kind of almost taking the open source model, but inside of Microsoft. So we realized, one, that would be great to give out and great to help external folks. We know there's a need. People ask for the styling. They need that help. They want it. So that's great. But we also realized that it would be a great way to start getting Fabric built up and more mature, and like a great way that helps us actually keep up with the technologies. Fabric uses less. Fabric is definitely forward-thinking, and we're trying to be. So working with the open source community allows us to be on the bleeding edge of that even more so than by staying just internal.
Awesome.
Do you guys plan to take contributions for Fabric?
That's my question.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To all of Fabric, portions of Fabric, or it's in a like a one pull request basis. We'll see.
It's a little tricky. I think the more contributions, the better. But because Fabric is a representation of our design language, pull requests that are kind of focused on like changing the design language, like I don't like this blue, let's change it to red, probably not going to cut it. But if it's things like improving our language, improving our documentation, helping improve our build processes, or just even adding potentially down the road, like maybe new components, like those are all things that we would totally be open to. Like we want the community.
In fact, I think so. We released on Monday last week, right? And have we had any pull requests so far?
We've had a couple.
A couple, yeah. Right?
We've had a few. I think somewhere in the range of 10 to 15.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
a week?
Exciting.
Yeah.
Over a week and a half? That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
In fact,
no, it's been awesome.
Well, I think that we were doing the same set of demos and an all hands internally last week. one of the things that we also mentioned there, which is super exciting, is that it took Fabric 24 hours since we released Fabric to become the number one project in our Office Dev repo.
Yep.
Right. So the project that was there before was,
OpenXML.
Yep. Right. And it'd been there for a while. And that's now in 24 hours, now it's the most popular. In fact, we're right now 1,274 stars.
That's and it's cool. By far. Like, it's well ahead of the previous first place. So.
Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the documentation that we have? How can get folks actually get started if they want to use Fabric or if they actually want to just actually build the sources, right? That's one of the things that before we released that publicly, mm-hmm. we actually had a couple of NDA releases for some very close partners to help us shape the release of Fabric. And one of the things that they love was just that, we just gave them access like to everything, like source code, the build. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you guys want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So on the build topic, like Fabric is basically just an NPM, like a node project. And so we use Gulp. We use Gulp as our build tool. And getting started is pretty simple. We have full docs in there. We encourage people to get in there, customize it, and build it themselves. It's really as simple as clone the repo, do npm install, run Gulp. There you go. And so we do have some documentation in the repo itself that kind of describes this. It might be good to pull that up.
Is it this one?
Yeah, it should be under, Getting Started.
Yep, Getting Started. Mm-hmm. There you go.
We have other markdown files as well in there to show off the different features of Fabric, from the color palettes to the typography, all the way to the components and a bunch of static images of those components.
Yep.
We're working on expanding our documentation. That's going to happen for sure, and hopefully as soon as we possibly can. But yeah, for right now, pretty much everything that we have is in these markdown files there on the GitHub repo.
Mm-hmm. This is great.
Yep. And then to kind of further show Fabric like in use, once you've built Fabric, we can actually explore it here. Under the dist folder, we do include some examples of Fabric in use, both from a component level. Each component has individual component files that demo how they should be used. And then a couple sample sites, like little sample projects that demo kind of Fabric more in use. So like the video portal app that I showed, a sample form application, and then a page that kind of goes through all of the icons that we have as well.
Cool. One of the other things that also we did when we released Fabric is that, because we knew this was so important for us, that we also took a stab at revamping some of our UX guidelines.
Okay.
So that actually now, pretty much what I tell you is like, hey, here's what the basics of an add-in are. And for any HTML elements, essentially you now just point to Fabric, right? So before we had like, hey, this is how you do typography, this is how you do your buttons, so on and so forth. Now it's like, hey, we have something, a toolkit for you to implement that. Okay. Should do that. So I'm just going to quickly show you that.
Which is even better than guidelines, right?
I mean,
people can take a Word doc, for example, or a website set of guidance, and then take their own implementation of it not necessarily keep to standard. And this way, you've made it so easy to keep to standard, which is great.
That's correct.
Exactly.
So if you go on dev.office.com, and then depending on what you're building, for example, let's say that you're building an Office add-in, on the design section, that's where our new guidelines are. So if you're building an Office add-in, this is where you land in terms of, it explains you all the basics. But now we also took the opportunity to improve our design guidelines. So if you click here in design guidelines for Office add-ins, you will see that it's now all about Fabric. So in fact, when you go, for example, on the Office add-in UI elements, it explains you that add-ins have two main elements. So it has all the native UI that we render on the client, like the buttons on the ribbon that we support now. By the way, for things like Outlook now supports direct commands directly in the ribbon. Word, Excel, and PowerPoint will come afterwards. But for all your custom UI, you can use now Fabric. So instead of having specific sections for there, when you look at, for example, everything here, typography, color, just straight pointers to Fabric. Essentially, like I just use this, you will be complying with the guidelines. Now, if developers, they have their own language, they are welcome to use that, as long as it looks harmonious with the rest of Office, so that's okay. But we strongly recommend you to use Fabric because it's everything is there. You just use it and you will be compliant with all of those guidelines.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool.
Excellent.
So I think that pretty much sums it up, Sonia.
Sounds great. And we're also pulling together a bit of a design center, if you will, on dev.office for Fabric.
Yep.
That'll be launched soon.
Yes.
I know the team is actively working on it, so
it's coming really soon.
Yep.
And I think that is going to be centered around getting you going even faster. I mean, you saw how simple the markup is, but we wanted to take that even a step further, so that you can just go there, play with the components, adjust them, and then you just literally just copy paste and start using it.
And that's everywhere. Your CSS. That's great. That's right. Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. So I will add all of the different resources that we talked through here into the show notes so folks can get to them more easily. And thank you so much for being here and talking about Fabric. This is fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you all for watching, and as always, happy coding.